Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
My name is Sam Nifty Delaney. So bloody what? You bloody, bloody idiot. There's a great load of bloody Zulus over there. Sometimes I just like to do a quick bit of Michael Caine on a Friday because it sort
Why not?
Of, I don't know, it loosens me up a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
I
bloody,
remember.
Bloody idiot, yeah.
First time I became aware of the film Zulu was, God, it must have been about 1982, I think. The TV Times gave away a free pair of 3D glasses because ITV were going to show Zulu in 3D.
Oh, so you feel like the Zulus are in your lounge.
Exactly, yeah. And it was a massive thing. So everyone bought the TV Times to get the free 3D glasses. And then obviously you sat down and watched Zulu with them on. But I think it was only 3D in certain bits of the film, like, for example, where they come over the hill. So the whole thing wasn't 3D. You had to, like, put them on at a certain time. And I give up. I don't think it got as far as the
bit with the hill. Invite into your front room. Into yeah, the exactly. comfort of yeah. your front
what
room.
Film, what film can we choose? Zulu. Yeah.
Well, we've done Jaws. Do Zulus next. They're a bit like sharks, aren't they? TV Times editorial office. Mate, have you been watching the fucking AFCON African of Nations Cup tournament?
I'm afraid I haven't yet. I thought I'd wait until it got to the kind of knockout quarter-final stages.
I've seen a few gifs of like some antics, shithousery and eccentricity. Apparently it's elite banter. Someone said...
elite banter?
Elite banter. Wow. There was a game in which the ref blew the final whistle really early out of sort of... out of boredom. Right, sent a player off, told VAR to fuck off when it said he was wrong, and then restarted the game and then stopped it ahead of time again. Ah, fuck this. I gave it another shot, but I'm sick of it now.
No, it just didn't take. No, I sacked it off.
This is bollocks.
I saw the final 5 minutes got played or something with a different ref, so I think he got sacked.
Get someone else to do
scenes.
It. I'm off down the fucking juicer. Find some other cunt.
He either got sacked behind the scenes or he just literally did that, just walked
He's
out.
Like, fuck this, and let the Lionel do the last 5 minutes.
I'm not even meant to be here. I just wandered in, put the kit on, and here I am.
I can't believe I'm not watching it. It sounds like I think I'm fuck watching this like shit fake World Cup that's going on in... Do you know what this World Cup in Qatar reminds me of? I know you're not a James Bond fan, so this might be lost on you, but it's like they made that James Bond film, Casino Royale, but the original Casino Royale, in which David Niven played Bond, and so did Woody Allen. It was like various different actors all playing the same role. And then also they did Never Say Never Again in the 80s, where a rival film company owned the rights to one Bond movie, right? And so they made it with Sean Connery. So there was two different Bond franchises running simultaneously.
Yeah, I remember that.
But there was
that,
a different Bond, there was a different M. It was all a bit iffy. And that's what this Qatar World Cup is a bit like. It's also a bit like when Tom and Jerry could talk. Do you know, like, the ones where Tom and Jerry could talk?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that, right? Fuck that. African Cup of Nations is clearly where it's at.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. You say that, but then once the World Cup starts in November, I'm sure we'll be all over it.
Maybe.
Once it actually kicks off.
I don't know. I could see if any pair of cunts were stubborn and contrary enough to boycott it, it would be us. But it is like, if any supposedly football-related podcast is going to not mention the World Cup in Qatar, it's going to be us, if anyone does.
I don't know, what are the knock-on effects of us not watching the World Cup in Qatar?
None.
Like, yeah, I mean, do we normally buy products from the advertisers and sponsors? Are we affected by that and influenced by that? I don't think we are we?
I think that the ultimate coup would be for us to take on quite a large World Cup-related sponsorship deal for those months, but never once mention the World Cup in any of our episodes. And we could do it, because let's be honest, these sponsors never listen anyway. I mean, if they did, they wouldn't give us a fucking penny, would they?
Yeah. What sponsors anyway? Yeah. I mean, we're going to watch it on free to air. We're not paying to subscribe for it. We're not going to be, you know, swayed by the advertisers and sponsors. So no one's getting any fucking dime out of us for it. So are we not just allowed to watch it?
Fuck the World Cup in Qatar. It's the murder World Cup, and it's in winter. I mean, nah.
But the Russia World Cup was hardly cleaner than clean, was it? We all watched that.
I don't know.
I'm not even fucking asked about football, to be quite honest.
I've
been watching the snooker all week, Sam. I'm balls deep in the snooker, to coin a phrase. There was football went on Wednesday evening. And last night, I think, there was league matches on in the Premier League. There was Carabao Cup semi-final action.
Caramel
Cup. I didn't watch a fucking second of any of it. And the usual shit was going on about people were on Twitter whinging about VAR and things like that. And I just thought, fuck off, can't be bothered with it.
I went to West Ham, but it was nice because I bumped into some friends, which is, you know, I went with my mate, met up with some other mates there. Relived some old times about when we were younger and life was more action-packed.
Euro 96.
Yeah, we had some Euro 96 chat. We actually had Hartlepool 2008 chat. And we both... A few of us admitted that our respective life partners had banned us from talking about the Hartlepool away weekend because it had become so tedious. I shared an office. We had such a great weekend in Hartlepool where so many legendary things happened that the bloke I was sharing an office with around that time politely asked me if I could stop talking about my trip to Hartlepool. And I said, what are you talking about? I only told you about it once. He went, yeah, you told me once, but you've told every cunt you've spoken to on the phone for the last 2 weeks the exact same set of fucking anecdotes. He said they were funny the first time, but now I'm literally thinking I might have to move out and find a different office if you don't shut up about it. So we relived some good times, but you can't go back.
I mean, we kind of got a similar one, me and my mates, which is Milan 2000. That was a genre-defining weekend away. I'm not going to repeat any of the stories here.
Was that in Europe, or was it a friendly, or what?
That wasn't it. It wasn't even Sunderland. It was just a stag weekend.
Oh, okay.
And it was Milan, and we took in a match at the San Siro.
Oh, great.
Which AC Milan beat, I thought, it might have been, who was it? It might have been Livorno, 4-1.
Yeah.
But it was just a weekend, and it was just fucking... such a good laugh.
We
still talk about it.
Yeah, you treasure
every time we all get back together.
Yeah, you treasure those things, don't you? And when I don't see my mates as much as I used to, and then sort of it was this lucky thing where a bunch of us all sort of in disparate groups all bumped into each other at half time.
Yeah.
In the smoking area. They've started letting people outdoors at half time. You are basically animals in a zoo, but you pay huge sums of money for the privilege as a football fan. They're like, yeah, we might let some of you cunts outside to smoke your fucking cancer sticks, but we're going to pen you in. And if any of you try to get out of the fucking fences we've erected, we'll taser you and ban you for life, you cunts. And you're not getting any money back either. So,
you can leave at any point, but you're not coming back.
You're not coming back. So I don't smoke, but I'd heard there was a bit of action out in the smoking area. Yeah. So I went about and it was fucking great. It was met up, relived some treasured memories. And that was more important to me than, you know, a sort of routine victory over Norwich, 2-0 victory over Norwich. Sort of like, bleh.
Was that what it was? That's one of the matches I had no idea was happening.
Yeah, West Ham Norwich. It was rearranged for, I think it was supposed to be at Christmas, but then COVID did for it. But, yeah, we won 2-0, but it was sort of in kind of boring, inconsequential match. On Sunday, we're playing Leeds, for the second time in a week, because we played them in the Cup last week. And there's some lads I know who do a West Ham podcast that's really successful. And like us, they're on Patreon and they have quite a big community. And they do lots of... they're much more hardworking than us, though. They're really busy. They do loads of stuff.
Oh.
And one of the things they do is they do pre-match events at every home game that they organise, right? And it's in a pub nearby, near the ground. And they lay on a ex-pro, right? It's got nothing to do with the club. It's totally unofficial. So
they lay on a buffet. That would have been better.
No, but I tell you what. You turn up, right? It costs about 20 quid for a ticket. You turn up, and if you're a boozer, it's great value, right? Because it's bottomless free booze.
Beer,
I don't think spirits, but certainly lager, right? And I think it might be selected spirits, right? And then there's all West Ham paraphernalia. They've got big screens up with, like, you know, videos of classic goals and what have you, right? It's like a theme park. And then Mark Ward, who's an old mate of mine, he used to play for West Ham, right? And he comes up and he does his Scouse banter. He's really funny. And then they get, like, a player on. So the last one I went to was Julian Dix, who's, like, massive West Ham legend. So they don't just have, like, muggy ones. And they do a big talk and then an auction and a Q&A. And everyone can drink as much as they want. And then there's a coach to the ground, right? So the idea is that it recreates the sort of atmosphere that there was at Upton Park, which you don't get at the London Stadium because it's a bit more polished and clean and there's not really old-fashioned pubs or anything like that. So it's quite good. So I went to the last one because Mark Ward's a mate of mine. He invited me along. And I took my mate and Lenny. And Lenny quite enjoyed it. There weren't many kids there. But this weekend it's Carlton Cole, right, who's sort of like a cult figure, and I'm a fan of him, right? I've really been enjoying him sort of getting involved in the punditry game on BT Sport because he often forgets that he's there as a professional pundit and just starts, like, acting like some bloke, right, who supports West Ham. He was on one night, and they got the post-match, and he was with Joe Cole, who's much more polished and professional and experienced, right? And they had Jarrod Bowen on the pitch, and they were in the studio. And they said, "We go now to Jarrod Bowen." And they looked to Colton as if he was going to open the questions. But all Colton Cole did was this, because he obviously knows him. "Hey, Jarrod, what, Jarrod Bowen?" Like that. And it cut to Jarrod Bowen, and he was just blinking down the lens, like looking. He just fucking finished playing professional football match. He was mentally and physically exhausted, and he was just blinking at the camera like, he couldn't see them. Who the fuck is this? Because it, like, Carlton didn't realise he couldn't see him. You can see him, but he can't see you. It's like a one-way mirror, mate. And he's going, hey, Jarrod. No question at all. And
plus, players now are, like, media trained to the nth degree.
Yeah.
So that's not what Bowen...
They're not trained for that.
What Jarrod Bowen would have been expecting at all.
So in the end, Joe Cole had to intervene. He cleared his throat and just went, "Carlton, it's Joe Cole here. Jarrod, it's Joe Cole here." And Jarrod just looked so relieved and went, "Oh, hi, Joe." And he asked him a question.
Oh, a pro.
And then you could see Carlton Cole thinking, "Oh, fuck, I was supposed to do that. I forgot that I'm being a pundit on the telly." So he waited until Joe finished his question. And once Jarrod finished answering, he went, "Hello, Jarrod, it is Carlton Cole here." So I'm thinking, "Oh, fuck, that's what he's supposed to do." So he was all over the gaff. But, he's endearing because of it. The fact he's unpolished, for me, makes me like him more.
Yeah, of course.
But the thing that he said that was the funniest, Andy, was at the end, the presenter, I can't remember her name, but she went, "Joe, Carlton, thanks as ever. Carlton, sure, we'll see you again soon." Which is just one of those things you say, right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, sure, we'll be seeing you again soon, right?
Yeah.
Carlton's eyes widened when she said that. Like, he was like, "Whoa! She's already decided." Like, he thought she was the one to make the decision.
Yeah,
yeah. He's always right, like when? A little boy, right? And this is what he said. Are you ready for this, right?
Oh, God.
She said, "I'm sure we'll see you again soon." And he interrupted her. She was trying to wrap the show up to the clock. He interrupted her to say, "Well, I'm never one to say no to a pretty penny."
Pretty penny.
It's so such a funny phrase. It's like something Fagan. It's like something Fagan says in Oliver Twist.
He went Dickensian. Yeah, fucking hell.
He thought he was negotiating there and then for his next fucking performance. He was like, "Well, fine, deal. I'm never one to say no to a pretty penny." Pretty penny.
That's incredible. I thought when you were telling me that sentence, he was going to say, "I'm never one to say no to a pretty lady," and I was going to go, "Oh God,
no!"
But no, he turned it around right at the end.
Penny.
A pretty penny.
I've never once say no to a pretty penny. Well, again, I respected him more for it because they're all there for the dough. They're not there for the fun of it. They're all there for the dough. And you've got to say, I would like to do this because my agent has arranged a fee of, I believe, 2,000 for this. And I could really do with another 2,000 ASAP. So, yeah, definitely. I want to say on record now with the audience as my witness, yes, I will do that.
Yeah, a verbal agreement. It reminds us a bit of, I was watching a documentary about Terry Wogan on Channel 5 over the Christmas period. Yeah. It might still be on 5 catch up. It's very good because Wogan was, let's face it,
an absolute legendary. Yeah.
And I tweeted about that I'd been watching it. It was really good. And somebody replied on Twitter and said like, "Oh, I used to like Wogan," something like, "but I went off him when it turned out that he took money from children in need to present the show every year." Of course he fucking did. It's his fucking job.
It's like he is the main television presenter on the BBC. It's one of the BBC's biggest fucking events of the year. They ask their main man to present it. It goes on for fucking ever. It's one of the many things I hate about it, right? It goes on and on and on.
Jalapeño. Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Fuck it. You know, like we were talking recently about how charity events are just so boring, like, and they're always like a replacement for actual ideas, right?
It's a shell for mediocrity, isn't it?
Yeah, and Children in Need is that, but like blown up to the fucking furthest it can possibly go. The whole evening is just we're crossing to Coventry now, where there's a guy who says he's going to try and sit in every seat of the Rico Arena in under 2 hours. How's he getting on, Sue? Well, there he is. And they're always in drizzly rain, aren't they? Pretending that they're not really depressed. But we're all fucking depressed.
He's going to need a soft cushion in the morning after this.
let's try and get a few words with him. So, Colin, how's it going? Well, yeah, you know, it's going all right so far. I think I'm up to about 2,000, but I've still got a long way to go. But, you know, it's all for a good cause. And what do your friends and colleagues think of this? They think I'm mad. I think they might be right. Back to you, Terry. And to think, thanks, Sue. And to think there's some fucking gobshite out there who think I'd do this crap for free.
Exactly. Can you imagine that without being fucking helmed by Cherry Wogan for 5 hours?
I am engaged in the most tedious fucking excuse for entertainment of the whole year. And I am charging full fucking rate for it too, let me tell you.
Charging double.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah,
fucking hell.
It's all about the money. Just like anything. Broadcasters are no different to plumbers, right? It's no different, right? This is what I do. You pay me for what I do. You know?
You see people as well complaining because, like, chief executives of charities get paid the going rate. Yeah. Of course they fucking do.
Yeah,
that's how they
course.
Fucking make the money for the charities, because they're good at what they do.
Well, funnily enough, one of my mates from football, who I saw the other night, he made what can only be described, Andy, as a pretty penny in the charity sector.
Penny.
And some people, you know, can be judgy about that. But I sort of think, for fuck's sake, he was, like, really innovative and entrepreneurial and built some fucking fundraising companies that raised millions and millions and millions of pounds for charity using his business expertise and insight to that to that field.
Yeah.
And so the money he was being paid was only really linked to the money that he was making for the fucking charity.
Of course, they don't stand around the street corners rattling tins.
Yeah.
Just hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Anyway. But that brings me on to something else that's pissed me off. Regarding charities, and that is that The Wall is back tomorrow night, Saturday night, BBC One. Danny Dyer, of course, leaving EastEnders soon, probably just to devote himself 100% to The Wall, I imagine.
That's exactly what I thought when I saw it. I thought he must just be like, this Wall thing's fucking... I tell you what, this is taking off like you wouldn't believe. There's a board game and everything.
And we said the other bit of speculation about him, though, possible next Doctor Who.
Please, God.
I'd watch that.
Please, God.
Danny Dyer. Is Danny Dyer as Doctor Who?
Doctor Who's always been a bit of a prick, hasn't he? Like, let's get a proper fucking geezer with a pair of fucking bollocks on him in the TARDIS. That's what I say. It's like, get fucking Doctor Who with a pair of fucking balls on him. Not all these fucking idiots, right?
They've got a woman at the minute. What's the opposite of a woman? Danny Dyer.
Danny Dyer. But, you know, at least the woman's, like, got something about her. All the bloke ones are always, like, drips, aren't they?
Yeah.
Get fucking Dyer in there, having it fucking large.
Totally. But, as I say, The Wall is back tomorrow night, which is great news, except it's a five-part series, I think, and every episode is one of those celebrity ones. Well, the contestants are celebrities.
What celebrities do they have anyway?
I haven't even looked. I recognised Sarah Millican on there, and there was someone else I've forgotten now. And it's like, I mean, fair play to the celebrities. They get asked to do it and they want to do it and it raises money for charity. But honestly, they have absolutely fucked it by doing that. When you've got ordinary people on there every week with a chance of winning life-changing, massive amounts of money, and you see the joy when they do that, or, by contrast, you see the absolute desolation when that money drains away and they end up with nout.
Even better.
That's part of the show. It's that jeopardy and that joy that makes it the fucking brilliant show that it is. That and Danny Dyer and his ongoing fucking psychological battle with The Wall itself. Getting celebrities in to raise some money for a hospice somewhere, yeah, great, but fucking it's no good.
No,
you fucked it.
Yeah, it just takes away. Yeah, it's just but they do it fucking everything, don't they? Everything has to be celebrity now.
They do. They ruin it. All telly programs, all game shows used to have ordinary members of the public on them years ago, and it was great because first of all, ordinary members of the public got to win a few quid, have a day on the telly, have fun, get to meet Michael Barrymore or Bob Monkhouse or Terry Wogan.
Yeah.
And it was part of the fucking
and also,
fabric of life, wasn't it?
The gentle teasing of members of the public by sharp-witted comedians and presenters is quite enjoyable to watch. Do you know what I mean?
Because the public were fish out of water, weren't they? They weren't quite sure.
I mean,
why
Barrymore,
they were there. They were a bit
Barrymore
nervous.
For me took it too far. I think by the end, Barrymore, when he went like through the looking glass, his whole shtick was, "I am just going to cunt off everyone here, and everyone's going to laugh at it." But and we all got carried along with it. I mean, I've watched Barrymore being a cunt to an old woman. He was always going through their handbags and all this stuff, right? And I think that oversteps the mark. Yeah, but at least when Rod Stewart just asked. If you watch Barrymore live, he grabbed the handbag off the old woman and fucking emptied it everywhere and start picking bits up and laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a crime. Yeah, almost.
I'm not saying this in the way you think I am, but he was at one stage above many laws, Barrymore. He was the most. There was a period in the early 90s where Barrymore was the most powerful man in the United Kingdom, above Prince Philip or anyone. Yeah. And he could do anything. If he walked into a shopping mall, he could walk into a shop, just take anything and go, "You all right?" or whatever, and then do a funny walk out. And people would just laugh and go, "Fine.
I'm having this."
And if a policeman was there, he'd take the policeman's truncheon, pretend to bum him with it, knock his helmet off, and everyone would be like, "Hey, Barrymore." And listen, I was as guilty as anyone, and you probably were too, because he had us under his spell, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was like the Pied Piper.
He was the Pied Piper for the whole nation. But then, you know, obviously he flew too close to the sun. But what I'm saying is that he took it too far. But the way that Wogan or Les Dawson did it, you know, just gently doing the little looks to the camera when a member of the public who was really nervous about being on telly forgot their own name. That was a classic. And what's your name? And they just look at the camera and they say, "Look, this cunt can't remember his own fucking name. This is a bad start." That's the sort of thing we like to see. Yeah. But you're not going to get that when you have polished entertainers on there going up with Dyer.
Don't get that.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, Dyer doesn't take the piss that much, but Dyer is often, he asks them strange questions, doesn't he? He likes his music, does he? Right? His music, yeah, next exactly. one. Likes his music, and they go, "Yeah, he does." Yeah. And then he goes, "Right." Then he looks blankly at them for a while. He goes, "Likes a boogie, does he, round the kitchen?" But, like, weirdly threatening. And they go, "Yeah, I guess." He goes, "Yeah, all right, let's see then." Like that. And you're like, you're never quite sure where he's coming from. And that's what I like about it.
And neither is he.
No, because it's sort of strange, isn't it? He's always like, he's got the look about him like he's always fucking trying to still stave off like a 12-hour hangover. And he's gone a bit psychedelic in the nut. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you got a hangover, you're just like, your brain's operating in a mysterious way. So, like you say, he doesn't quite know where he's going with any of his questions.
And his lockdown was spectacular as well, because he came down for the post-lockdown series with new, longer, slicked-back hair, and he gained, like, half a stone. It was brilliant.
I've been on the family circle biscuit selection for the whole of fucking COVID, mate.
But he's sitting around eating cake and watching telly all day.
My guts are full of fucking biscuits, and my hair's gone like a fucking hippie.
I knew my job was still there when this was all finished. I just sat back and put my trotters up, didn't I?
Yeah. They called up and said they wanted me to do another shift on the wall. I said, "I'll do it, but I'm not going to have time to shift any of this fucking weight or get an haircut. So you're going to have to take me as you find me, you cunts." They went, "No problem, Danny. That's what makes you so likeable. You're believable to the ordinary man in the street."
Oh man, someone on Twitter, I mentioned this on Twitter earlier about the ruination of the wall, and someone recommended the new Ant and Dec thing, Limitless Cash Game or something that started last week.
That sounds like a working title that they forgot to change when it actually went on TV.
I forgot what its proper name is, but that's what it is. And it's got, instead of a wall, it's got a ladder, but it's a computer generated image. And there literally is no limit to how much it could win. And this ladder goes up and up and up and up and up till it gets to about 11 million quid.
No.
No one's ever going to get near 11 million quid. It's impossible. But that's what it is. And I watched it and I'm not sure. There's too many little intricate bits, too many intricate moving parts in it. And I don't know. It doesn't,
for
doesn't
me,
quite
I,
work.
I can't commit. Like, I've got to say, obviously, I was a fan of the wall when it started, mainly to do with Dyer. The thing is, that was the first game show that I'd committed to in about 30 years, because to me, they became more and more, like, there's only so many game show formats, right? And after that, I mean, I know people who fucking have devoted their, like, most of their careers to trying to fucking dream up the new ultimate breakthrough game show format. Mm. Because in the TV industry, if you can do that, then you can effectively set yourself up for life. You know, if you come up with that idea that gets syndicated around the world, like when they did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, for example, right? You're set for life. So a lot of people devote their life to it. But as a result, it's more and more complicated. No one just sits down and goes, well, let's make it like noughts and crosses and that's it. Or let's do a flip of the fucking coin. Or it's, there's all these different levels. And for me, I just wasn't able to commit emotionally or intellectually to learning new game shows. Like, the Dyer thing, for me, it was such an inspired and curveball choice of host, right? That I felt that what he did was subvert the genre. By being there, he subverted it, and that's why I had to see it more than anything. But for me, but my favourite ever game show was Play Your Cards Right, because I feel that that was Brucey at his best. Even more than Generation Game, I just thought Brucey was great. And I loved the music, but more than anything, I just loved the nature of it. Higher and Lower is beautifully simple, but it also means there's non-stop jeopardy. Every move is jeopardy. Plus, playing it at home is super easy too.
Play along at home, exactly. Plus as well, you've got Brucey and that interaction with the ordinary people who've come along. Yeah. It wouldn't work with celebrities on there. Oh, it would be fucking terrible. Boring.
Because they're all trying to out-funny each other as well. I hate it. Or when they're being matey and it feels smug and cunty. Give us the fucking British public. When would it? No wonder they voted Brexit, right? Because people feel that now, unless you're a fucking celebrity, you've got nothing to offer.
That's what it is. You've nailed it. The alienation that the British public feel, it's nothing to do with the elites in Westminster or wherever. Yeah. It's the fact they've been shut out of game shows.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know you love watching the Bullseye reruns, and part of it is it's like social cultural history. You see these interesting people from interesting parts of the country who wouldn't usually be on TV, and you get to know them a little bit, and you observe their funny characteristics and quirks and ways of speaking, and you get little insights to their life.
Exactly.
Right, because Jim Bowen will ask them shit about their job or whatever. And it's also like a bit of a history lesson when you watch the old ones as well, seeing the way that people behaved or lived then. But no one's going to get anything from looking back and seeing Michael McIntyre appear on fucking Celebrity Countdown or some shit like that. Because all it is a cookie cutter bunch of smug comedians coming out with generic one-liners that have been written behind the scenes by some less attractive comedians. Do you know what I mean? for them to it's all interchangeable. Fucking David Mitchell sitting there going, "Well, I suppose you're right, but this is quite awkward. What with me being English? I'll tell you the thing I hate about umbrellas."
Yeah, completely.
Here's my sideways look on picnics. I mean, wants to eat outside? Give me a table any day of the week. Suppose that's just me. I'm pretty quirky.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Give me Bob and Sandra from Stoke going fucking mental over the prospect of winning a speedboat. They're not winning it and just fucking going, fuck it.
I've watched episodes of The Wall where I have had tears of joy in my eyes at the end, where a couple have walked off with, let's say, £83,000 that they weren't expecting at the start of the day. And they quite could have easily walked off with nothing. It all depends on how random some balls fall down an inexplicably massive wall in Poland.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking mental and it's brilliant. And having celebrities on, nah, fuck it. I'm not having
There's too many celebrities, really.
There's too many celebrities. Right, so let's do the predictions before we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Newcastle United versus Watford.
Oh, fucking hell. I reckon Newcastle will win this 1-0. I doubt.
I think they'll win it. I think they might win it 3-0. Pains me to say that, but whatever.
Yeah.
Aston Villa versus Manchester United.
By the way, shout out to the Newcastle fan who posted on the Newcastle fan Facebook page, Chris Wood for £25 million. Are we pissed?
I don't know. Chris Wood scored double figures in the Premier League in the last three seasons before this one.
It was his release clause. They had to pay it in order to get him, because Burnley wouldn't have let him go if not, would they? So, but it was just a funny thing to say, I thought. Are we pissed?
The answer is yeah. Aston Villa versus Manchester United. I'll go for 1-1, that one.
I'm going to say 2-1 Villa.
Okay. West Ham versus Leeds. again.
I say 2-0 West Ham.
2-0 West Ham. I will go 2-1 West Ham. Same predictions as last weekend, so I'm doubling down on it. Accrington Stanley versus Sunderland Association Football Club. I will go for... Oh, God. I'm going to go 1-1.
Who is it again? Sunderland versus...
Away at Accrington.
Oh, fucking hell. I'm going to say Accrington 0, Sunderland 1.
Okay. And finally, Millwall versus Nottingham Forest.
2-0 Forest.
2-0 to Forest. I think this will be 1-0 to Millwall. There we go. That's it for the Top Flight Time Machine podcast for today. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.